Mike Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, as we are getting ready for the vice presidential debate tonight between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, the question will be, how much of a doofus will Tim Walz come across at the big debate? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. No, I mean, he's a big dork. He is a big doofus, Tim Walz. And I don't think his act is playing very, very well. I think J.D. Vance is going to have a great night. I do. I really do. I think he's going to do very, very well. Still monitoring the situation with Israel and Iran. Monitoring that. Monitoring the hurricane response. Monitoring what's going on with the longshoremen. I wanted to mention to you, too, you know, this whole longshoremen strike. And I had a lot of people when I tweeted out that clip this morning of this guy, this Harold Daggett guy, calling him basically an eco-terrorist. You know, an eco-terrorist. Like, he's threatening to shut down the entire economy. It's funny, right? Because you got people on our side who are saying this guy's an eco-terrorist, or like eco as an economy, economic terrorist. I got lefties accusing him of being in cahoots with Trump to shut down the economy to help Trump get elected. I kid you not. So I'm hearing that, which is just insane. But this is the clip from earlier today, his big threat, which went very viral, and it's as Jersey as you get. I mean, this guy's in Jersey, North Jersey. This threat, it's as Jersey as you get. Take a listen.
These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single place. These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single port a lockdown. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me. I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
Hey, yeah. You have no friggin' idea what I can do to you, what I'll do to this economy. I got no idea. Let's understand a couple of things real quick. First of all, these guys got to be careful because automation's coming, and what's going to happen is they're going to wind up replacing with automation like they do in other countries and just say, you know, the heck with them. I mean, that's a real problem for them, I think. They talked about that a little bit earlier today. They had this press conference out there. I think, look, I hope this ends very quickly. I don't want to deal with paper towel shortages and toilet paper shortages. I do not want to deal with going to Costco and having everybody freaking out and stocking up on. I don't want to deal with that. And of course, we hope it doesn't affect the North Pole and Santa and his delivery routes. You know, catch my drift. But politically observing this situation, when the people on the left are accusing these guys of being in cahoots with Trump to shut down the economy, that could not be further from the truth. I mean, there's no way that they would do that. There just isn't. It's stupid. But he will benefit from this, just like he's going to benefit from this threat of World War III in the Middle East. Again, I'm not rooting for these things. I'm just analyzing these things. I'm analyzing the impact of these things on us in real time here in Philadelphia. You know, you got thousands of miles away what's happening in the world, and you got right here in our backyard with the Port of Philadelphia and the Port of Wilmington and, you know, Newark. And so all these things are going to have huge economic impacts. There's no question about it. And I think a big part of the problem right now is we don't have a president. We don't have a president. There's no leadership whatsoever. Biden is a giant pudding mess. And Kamala Harris pulled a very classic Joe Biden today when she was at FEMA doing a briefing, refusing to take questions. And they had the whole thing set up where she's at the head of the table to look presidential. Oh, yeah, this is a real scam, right? So as vice president of the United States, she's at the head of the table at FEMA with all the people around as she's dealing with the response to the hurricane. And this is when I can't stand this stuff because it's cheap, cheap use of our taxpayer resources to help these people look more presidential. And she's not the president and she's not the head of FEMA. She's the friggin' vice president, but she's at the head of the table. And then she refuses to take any questions. Get out. That's it. Get out. Go. Nothing. We got nothing. You get nothing.
Thanks so much.
This way.
You'll get nothing and like it. Out.
Thank you.
Out you go. Out you go. Get out. You go. Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. So it's purely optics, purely photo optics, nothing else. That's all it is. Unbelievable. Now, it's funny because this guy Daggett, you know, has had some criminal problems in the back. He's got money. He's got a lot of money. And this is about to become an economic thing. I mean, it's going to become a huge economic problem for this country. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. This is what he said earlier today. But you got to remember, a lot of these union guys are Trump supporters.
We don't ever want to see an automation pier put over here in the United States.
We want our royalty back.
Yeah, and our container royalty. We want it all back to the men where it belongs.
The White House has been involved over the weekend.
Secretary of Labor, Julie Sue, has been terrific. She's knocking down doors. She's trying to stop this. She's trying to get us to a media where we can have a fair negotiations. It's the companies that don't want to. They don't want to sit here and be fair. So that's why we're out here fighting for our livelihood.
What more from the automation do you want? What more protections could there be?
What more?
Yeah, they have language in there now.
Not strong enough, because what happens is they come in with new technology. We just caught them in Mobile, Alabama, called AutoGate. Right. And that means the trucks are coming in, and they're already checked in somewhere else and not using the checkers in the ILA.
Circumventing the contract.
They don't care. They don't care. It's not fair. And if we don't put our foot down now, they would like to run over us. And we're not going to allow that.
You are going to grind the economy to a halt here on the East Coast and the Gulf Coast.
No, not us. They are. Don't spin it now because you're Fox News. They're going to drive it.
Are you worried?
They're going to drive it.
See, that's all right. So two things here. These guys are not winning the public relations war so far, as I can tell on social media. I can see it. People are angry and they feel like this guy Daggett's a thug. But these guys are all Trump supporters, all these longshoremen, all these union guys. They are. And this whole situation stinks, but I can tell these guys are not winning the PR war here. And if the president orders them to work and they do a work shortage and people start, I mean, it's going to be a very, very short fuse for these people, for the American people. And they are not going to be happy with this as we are heading into the holiday season. No way are they going to be happy with this. Now, I've had some other people say, well, then does this help? Because you just heard him praise the people from the Labor Department. Does this help the Biden-Harris administration if they can negotiate a deal here and then this can make Kamala Harris look good? Absolutely. And that's my concern. That's a big concern I have. But I can tell you if they did that and they made her look good, that the members are going to be ticked off because those guys all support Trump. This whole situation is a mess. It's a friggin' mess. It really is. It's a mess to the highest degree. But do you... You know, could you see a situation where Kamala Harris is able to, even though she does nothing, she's able to come in and swoop down and take credit for everything and say, I put this all back together? You know she's going to try, right? You know she's going to try and do that. It's a mess. This whole thing is a mess. And he's even using he's even using the Italian card here. Daggett's not Italian, but... Said it's a damn tragedy for the Waterfront Commission to enjoy free reign and target Italian Americans as part of their historic anti-worker campaign. Let's be real here. The Waterfront Commission has for decades claimed good jobs went to only those with so-called mob ties. He said that back in 2022. This is like, I don't know, Stella. This is nuts. This whole situation's nuts. I'm telling you, it's going to be bad for the economy. And it's going to be the kind of thing where the ramifications of this are going to be felt very, very deep. And I just try to look at the politics of this and I think to myself, there's no question in my mind that if the economy gets worse, whether it's the fault of the longshoremen or not, it's going to hurt Harris. There's no doubt. It that's the truth. You know that and I know that. That's what's going to happen. It's going to get worse and they're going to blame Harris. Trump on Truth Social today regarding Israel. The war was totally preventable. It should have never happened. If I were president, it would not have happened. Look at the world today. Look at the missiles flying in the Middle East. Look at what's happening with Russia, Ukraine. Look at the inflation destroying the world. None of this happened while I was president. I think he also would, this strike probably would not have happened if he was president either. I think he would have been out there working with these guys and making a deal. I really believe that. I think he would have been out there working with these guys and making a deal and avoiding this situation. But there's no leadership. I mean, there's no leadership from this administration on anything. On any aspect of the world, there's no leadership on any of this, on any of this stuff. Statement from President Donald Trump on the Iranian terror regime's imminent attack on Israel. The world is on fire and spiraling out of control. We have no leadership, no one running the country. We have a non-existent president in Joe Biden and a completely absent vice president, Kamala Harris, who was too busy fundraising in San Francisco, a city which she and Gavin Newsom totally destroyed, and staging fake photo ops. No one is in charge, and it's not even clear who is more confused, Biden or Kamala. Neither has any idea what is even going on. When I was president, Iran was in total check. They were starved for cash, fully contained, and desperate to make a deal. Kamala flooded them with American cash, and ever since, they've been exporting terror all over and unraveling the Middle East. Under President Trump, we had no war in the Middle East, no war in Europe, and harmony in Asia. No inflation, no Afghanistan catastrophe. Instead, we have peace. Now, war or the threat of war is raging everywhere, and the two incompetents running this country are leading us to the brink of World War III. You wouldn't trust Joe or Kamala to run a lemonade stand, let alone the free world. It is no surprise that Iran desperately wants Kamala Harris to be president because they know as long as she is in power, they can take advantage of America. That is why they have tried to target me. If I was in charge, October 7th never would have happened. Russia-Ukraine never happens. Afghanistan botched withdrawal never happens, and inflation never happens. If I win, we will have peace in the world again. If Kamala gets four more years, the world goes up in smoke. I read a piece the other day. Somebody said something about, you know, we can't, because her whole thing is there's no going back. You know, we're not going back, and we're not going back to the chaos of the Trump administration. I think people... do not think of the Trump administration as chaos. I don't think they think of those years as chaos. I'm sorry. I don't think they do. The opposite. I think they think back right now. People put, you know, they look back and they go, America was better. The world was better. Everything was better back then. And everything between the strike that's going on, the whole thing with this Iran and Israel situation, the mess that we're dealing with now, all of it, you got to think to yourself, man, At some point, can we have some leadership to deal with this? Can we have some leadership? Glenn Greenwald saying the situation in the Middle East is as dangerous as it's been in a long time, and the U.S. president has no functional brain, and the vice president is focused solely on ascending to power. We are thus again faced with this question: who is making decisions for the United States government? Great question. Who is? Who is making decisions for the United States government? I would like to know. Joe Biden is not capable of being president. He's not capable of leading this country. Joe Biden should not be president. They should get him out of there. But you know what I worry about, Bo? And I'm going to leave politics out of this, because all I'm saying to you is just that if Kamala Harris becomes president, I think it's an advantage to her. I do. I think it's an advantage for her because I think people will see her as president and she'll look presidential to them. I don't think she'll look presidential, but that's, you know, they'll be able to see a woman as president. I still think it happens. I still think that's the October surprise, is that this jello brain winds up getting out of there. It's not what I want to see. But then again, the part of me that wants to protect this country knows this guy can't do the job. And the only thing I can hope for is that there are people who are making military decisions right now who are not Joe Biden. That's all I can hope. That's it. That's all I can hope. Here's a flashback. Jake Sullivan, Pentagon hack. How the Middle East was so quiet under Biden.
And what we said is we want to depressurize, de-escalate, and ultimately integrate the Middle East region. The war in Yemen is in its 19-month of truce. For now, the Iranian attacks against U.S. forces have stopped. Our presence in Iraq is stable. I emphasize for now, because all of that can change. And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
Mm-hmm. You hear that? That's what this administration said. Remember what Kamala Harris said recently about Iran and what they're going to do regarding this, as Iran is shooting missiles at Israel right now and they're monitoring the situation? Remember this?
This work, while we also work to counter aggression from Iran and its proxies, prevent regional escalation, and promote regional integration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's working out for you great. It's working for you great. Unbelievable. I think people feel right now like the world is on fire in every single capacity. Reporter was asked Kamala Harris, what's your message to Iran? She has the same answer as Joe Biden.
What's the message to Iran?
Don't.
See?
As President Biden said, just don't.
Exactly. One word. Pretty straightforward.
She and Biden are exactly the same person. They're literally the exact same person. Exact same person. There's no difference between these two people. None. It's amazing. All right, I got a lot more to get to as we preview the debate tonight on our fourth and final hour. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Don't forget, listen. We got the Grand Hotel Friday, October 11th. Friday, October 11th. That's right. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm so excited for it. Please, please come out and join us for that. It is from 3 to 7 p.m. Friday, October 11th. What did I say? 7th? 11th. Yeah, Friday, October 11th. What's wrong with me? I don't know. I'm confused by all this breaking news. Friday, October 11th at the Grand Hotel. So come join us for that. Live shows are always great. We have a lot of fun, and it will be great. All right? Join us for that. 3 to 7 p.m. Friday, October 11th at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The world was safer under Donald Trump, no doubt about it. The world was safer, and the military-industrial complex and all the hacks who support Kamala Harris, all the deep state officials, they're all making money. All making money on this stuff. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Appreciate you being here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, our fourth and final hour. I started to talk about this yesterday, and I wanted to just delve into it a little more deeply, because I think it's essential to think about the 700 members of the National Security Leaders for America who signed the letter endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris last week. These people, from John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and look, I cannot emphasize enough to you how dangerous John Kerry is to the world writ large, like just to the world. This guy is so dangerous. John Kerry represents a fundamental threat, to freedom everywhere around the world in every aspect of all of it. John Kerry is a dangerous, dangerous guy. Victor Davis Hanson reacted to former Secretary of State John Kerry's complaint that free speech is a major hurdle. So I want to play for you what John Kerry said. It's a little bit of a longer cut, but look, this is important stuff, all right? This show, we don't just do sugar stuff, sugar pop, baby. We go deep. We go deep. Because if you're going to save the Republic, if you're going to fight for freedom, and yes, you want to enjoy and be entertained, but we're all, we got a mission here, baby. And so we got to go a little deeper sometimes. And John Kerry and these other people who sit around with the bond villains at the World Economic Forum, and they talk about how they can clamp down on freedom of speech so we can all behave like good little boys and girls. And they know that social media and freedom of speech gets in the way of that, and they hate it. They hate it. Here, Josh, I'm John Kerry. I mean, look, I wish I married a Heinz. Friggin' ketchup air, 57 ingredients, whatever it is. I don't know. I wish I had all that money in a private jet. That horse face of his, that friggin' horse face. Listen, let's start this clip. I may talk over it, but go ahead.
And I think the dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. The referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact have kind of, you know, been eviscerated to a certain degree. And people go, and then people self-select where they go for their news or for their information. And then you just get into a vicious cycle.
Let me explain what he means here, is that the internet means that the corporate media just can't control the message that you get. Because there was a time when it was just the big three networks, and then maybe Fox and MSNBC. And you know where the alternative was? Rush Limbaugh, talk radio. That's where the alternative was. Now, with the diversification of the internet now, there's all kinds of different places for opinion. What he means is it's very hard to control you. It's very hard to just put out the message that will control you, like a giant, like one of those big cubes that just sends out the information and gets into your brain and controls you and moves you around. It's much harder to do that now. Who are the referees? The corporate media that filtered everything through their evening newscasts and their morning newscasts. The newspapers that filtered everything through the front pages. That's what he means. Those are who the referees were back then. This friggin' guy. Keep going.
So it's really, really hard, much harder to build consensus today than at any time in the 45, 50 years I've been involved in this. And you know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have, you know, some accountability on facts, et cetera. But look, if people go
curb
to only one
entities.
Source and the source they go to is sick and, you know, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change. Now, obviously, there are some people that are.
What change? Change to the First Amendment? That pesky little roadblock to you controlling what is information and what is disinformation? I've been saying this for a while now. The biggest battle right now is the battle over information. And guys like him and the bond villains at the World Economic Forum and all, they want to control. These people are the biggest control freaks. And so if the First Amendment stands in the way of that, we need change. We need to hopefully have change. And then what they'll do is also impose regulations, things like internet disinformation boards. And they'll have regulations for the internet. They'll shut down X if it becomes a problem for them, because we allowed them to shut down TikTok because they scared us with the C word, China, or the other C word, children. And then they'll control the bond. They will be in charge of whether it's climate change, the response to a pandemic, whatever it is. And there'll be no competing ideas. They so desperately want to get back to a place where it was three big news networks and then the major city newspapers filtering out the message day after day. And all they had to worry about were those pesky talk show hosts on AM radio and FM radio in parts of the country. They would love to get back to that day. Now they can't stand it. You can listen anywhere. You know, you can watch people online. They hate it. They hate it. It's such a threat to them. It is such a threat to them. All right, keep going.
Country are prepared to implement change in other ways. And
other ways.
Questioning really if democracy can survive unregulated social media.
I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges that we are facing. And to me, that is part of what this race, this election is all about. Will we break the fever in the United States?
Will we break the fever in the United States? I think what he means is, will we break the freedom in the United States? I think that's really what he means. I think that's what he's trying to say. Here's Victor Davis Hanson discussing this and saying that, you know, for a guy like John Kerry, all right, talking about controlling the 85% of the media is not enough. What he really wants to do is control all of it. He wants to be in charge of every aspect of this. This is the kind of guy that he is. And all these people are. So Victor Davis Hanson was on with Laura Ingraham last night. I love Victor Davis Hanson. He's always a joy to talk to. He's probably one of the smartest people alive on the planet. You know what I mean? He really is. And he's a stalwart fighter for freedom and freedom of speech and liberty. And he understands exactly what the agenda of people like John Kerry and the Bond villains at the WEF. Let's take a listen to what he had to say last night.
Victor Davis Hanson, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. Victor, if Kamala wins, what will this hammering out of free speech he references look like?
Well, it'll look like what we saw with the FBI, the warping of the FBI working with Twitter and Facebook, but it'll be on steroids. I mean, he's really complaining that 85% of the media, the print media, all of the network news, PBS, which is 85% of the delivery of the news, isn't enough. And they want a control. They want total control because their message doesn't appeal to 51%. So they open the border to get new constituents. They deny who they are. They act as if they're centrist for 90 days during an election, and now they want, that's not enough. They want to suppress free speech because they don't have a total monopoly on it. And, you know, to be frank, Laura, John Kerry is the person who brought the Russians in 2013 after 35 years they had not been in the Middle East. He's the author of the disastrous Iran deal. He gave us the Paris Climate Accord. So he has no credibility at all, and especially given what we've seen with media collusion and that monopoly of Russian collusion, laptop disinformation, the suppression of the New York Post to tell us the truth on the eve about the laptop of the 2020. So he has no credibility, none whatsoever.
Well, and he has no credibility, but these people that signed this letter for Kamala Harris, these 700 national security hacks who did this, you have to realize something. These people make money off this stuff. They don't want the world to be peaceful. They really don't. They don't want it. Billions and billions of dollars going to the military-industrial complex, but also these like the Council on Foreign Relations, for example. The Council on Foreign Relations, which offers a full suite of resources to keep track of developments on critical issues and the U.S. role in the world. They're influencers in Washington, lobbyists, think tanks, whatever you want to call them. And their people are backing Kamala Harris, donating to Kamala Harris. General Atomics, Lockheed Martin. And then all the people that signed this letter, the 700 of them, Rand Corp. You know, they all want Kamala Harris to be president. Glenn Greenwald said it best. He said, Democrats continue to revere the CIA, the FBI, and the U.S. security state as a whole, by large margins over Republicans. This makes sense for many reasons, including the fact that those agencies have proven themselves Democrats' political allies and they censor for them. Partisans differ most on ratings of the CDC, FBI, and Homeland Security. Republicans have no faith, none, in Department of Homeland Security, IRS, the EPA, Central Intelligence Agency, Department of Defense, the Fed, the Secret Service, FEMA, the FDA, NASA, the CDC. It ranks so low. The Democrats have faith in all these agencies. Just look at what complete authoritarians today's liberals are. They revere the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, and even the Department of Homeland Security, the once controversial creation of Bush-Cheney in 2002 for the war on terror. Dick Cheney and Bill Kristol both support Kamala Harris. And those neocons, as they're known, they're all in on Harris. They're all in on her, and they want to stop Trump. But you look at this breakdown, and you can see Republican voters think all of these three-letter and four-letter agencies are not good. Democrats revere them. And that says a lot about the Democrat Party. You have to realize, and you know this, they're actually, look, fascism is a strong centralized government. That's not what we conservatives want. Libertarians and conservatives don't want that. But that's what the left wants. The left wants a gigantic centralized federal government that runs everything. And they think that the people in these agencies are smarter than you. They've got fancy degrees and they know what's best for you. And they want them to call all the shots and control every aspect of your life. Pandemic, climate change, energy, whatever it is. Whatever it is. And they want you to just shut up and be compliant and take their information. And if you disagree with them, they're going to call it disinformation. And woven together with all of that is this defense industrial complex and these think tanks and lobbyists who are all getting rich off these wars. And then they're all backing Kamala Harris. And so the Democrat Party is enabling the expansion of the executive branch of government and these agencies that they all have guns, they all have bullets, they have the ability to take over tomorrow and just crush the American people, just the agencies. I'm not even talking about, you again, the movies, you call it the military. These agencies all have guns. These agencies all have weapons and tactical teams and sharpshooters. They all do. I mean, it's crazy, but they all do. Maybe not Department of Education. They may not. But they probably have the book police, if you have an overdue library book, like Bookman. You don't want to mess with that guy. All right? Various high-ranking intelligence officials signed the letter, including former CIA Director John Brennan, who should be in prison. Notably, Brennan previously signed a letter that characterized the New York Post story on Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation. Former Director of National Intelligence Jim Clapper, who also should be in prison for lying to Congress, and senior counselor at Palantir Technologies, Wendy R. Anderson, are listed among the members. Palantir is partly funded by the CIA, according to Reuters. And then, of course, you have Liz Cheney backing. You know what I mean? You have the warmongers love this.
Liz Cheney endorsed Kamala Harris.
Hear J.D. Vance hammer her. Oh, no. I want to hear this. This is good.
And it's so interesting, isn't it, that every failed warmonger in the established D.C., let's just say, machine is behind Kamala Harris, that the peacemakers are behind Trump and Vance. Blessed are the peacemakers, is what the scriptures say.
This is Charlie Kirk interviewing J.D.
Your thoughts,
Vance.
J.D.?
Well, maybe the best thing, not the very best thing, but a very good thing that I could say about the next presidency of Donald J. Trump is that he's going to make sure that people like Liz Cheney are laughed out of the Oval Office instead of rewarded, because this is a person whose entire career has been about sending other people's children off to fight and die for her military conflicts and her ridiculous ideas that somehow we were going to turn Afghanistan, a country that doesn't even have running water in a lot of places, into a thriving liberal democracy. And for that, Liz Cheney was willing to kill thousands of your children. Liz Cheney, you know what? I think it's the best thing in the world that she's supporting Kamala Harris. You are right. Blessed are the peacemakers. Kamala Harris and Liz Cheney make very, very interesting partners. They get rich when America's sons and daughters go off to die. They get rich when America loses wars instead of winning wars. And they get rich when America gets weaker in the world. We want American strength, American security, and most importantly, peace. Let's bring peace back to the world. And Donald Trump is the candidate to do it.
I want to emphasize.
And that's why they want to stop him. And that's why they want to stop him. All right, more to come, including the mess in Arizona with ballots. What is going on here? Why are people being allowed to vote who aren't citizens? And no, this is not fake news. This is crazy. The number of Arizona voters who potentially received wrong ballots climbs to 218,000. 218,000 affected registrants are reportedly comprised of 79,000 Republicans, 61,000 Democrats, and 76,000 other party. This is a mess. What is going on here? We got to figure this out. This is unbelievable. We'll talk about it straight ahead. And there's also shenanigans in Philadelphia. I know we're all shocked by that, too. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Ballots in Philadelphia arriving with the return envelopes already sealed. Here's what voters should do. Thanks to my buddy John for sending this my way today. Some Philadelphia mail ballots arrive with return envelopes already sealed. It's unbelievable, right? It's just not this. I mean, you can't make this up. The return envelopes and secrecy envelopes provided to voters were already sealed when the ballots were mailed to voters' homes, according to multiple voters who flagged the issue to the Inquirer. The issue was causing frustration to Philadelphia voters who are poised to play a key role determining who wins the White House in November. But those voters can still cast their ballot by mail, either by requesting a new envelope or cutting the sealed envelopes open and taping them shut before returning them, said City Commissioner Seth Bluestein, a Republican on the three-member panel which oversees the city's elections. Oh, yeah, just tape it shut. That's what could possibly go wrong. Who could ever possibly cut tape and change out a ballot? It's unclear how many envelopes were sealed, but roughly 10,000 mail ballots have already been returned, indicating it was not a universal problem for Philadelphia voters. There's absolutely no reason to believe that any of the envelopes were tampered with. Philadelphia's mail voting system is safe and secure. The city encountered a similar issue during April's primary, but it affected fewer voters. No big thing. No big whoop. Don't worry about it. Just put a little scotch tape on it and send it back to us, all right? The Arizona Secretary of State's office released updated numbers on registrants impacted by an administrative error, bringing the total up to approximately 218,000. These voters could have had access to a full ballot for decades when they should have been receiving a federal-only ballot. Like Arizona's electorate overall, the affected voters lean Republican. This new group, approximately 120,000 voters, 61,000 Democrats, 79,000 Republicans. They're investigating the issue impacting the voting status and ballots of some people living in Arizona who have not provided documentation of U.S. citizenship. Let me say that again. 218,000 people got ballots, and we don't know how many of them have not provided documentation of U.S. citizenship. It could be as high as 218,000. The Secretary of State and county records differed on their positions and how to move forward from the issue. County Recorder Steve Richer said the issue was going to the courts to get a clear answer. This is from ABC 15. On September 20th, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that those whose citizenship documents hadn't been confirmed can vote in state and local races, but they can't vote in federal races. But they're still getting the federal ballots. So we don't know how many non-citizens in Arizona, and we don't know how long this has been going back, but it could be as far back as 2004, where you have non-citizens voting in Arizona. On a private call, Arizona's top Democrats debated how to deal with this situation. you can't make this up. It's just an error. It's an error that with these non-citizens got to vote. Do you believe this? I mean, do you believe that it's an error? That just these non-citizens, maybe 218,000 of them, who should have only voted in local and state elections, got ballots. So Arizona's Democratic leaders knew they had no good options when they jumped on a phone call this month. They had just learned tens of thousands of residents have been registered to vote for decades, even though there was no record they had provided proof of citizenship, a requirement under state law. This predicament was an urgent, dire situation, said Governor Katie Hobbs, wacko lefty, according to audio of the call obtained by the Washington Post. Secretary of State Adrian Fontes said critics would beat us up no matter what the hell we do. Attorney General Chris Mays worried that they would be accused of rigging the 2024 election in a crucial state. You think? Really? 218,000. It was a 40-minute phone call, by the way. 218,000 people who might not have had the required proof of citizenship might have been voting in federal elections, might be voting in this election. And you think people might say it's election interference? Hobbs noted that conspiracy theorists could run wild with the situation and said they needed to be as proactive as possible to look like we are taking every single action possible to shore up the confidence in our voting system. The governor said, if I was in your shoes, Secretary, I would take those 148,000 voters, now 218,000, and move them to Fed only and do everything I could to provide the resources for the counties to deal with that additional burden and to ensure the confidence in our system. I'm sure that there's a very small percentage of those voters that are not actually eligible. And they're trying to spin it by saying it's more Republicans than Democrats. Arizona. Must-win state of Arizona. All right, a lot more to talk about, obviously, with the great one, Mark Levin, coming up next. What a show. The world is on fire. Just pray. It's all we can do. Keep the conversation going on X, at Rich Zeoli. And join me in Cape May on Friday, October 11th, so we can all smile and have a good time together. God knows we need it, right? Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.